Mute yourself.
Yeah, he's coming.
He's there.
Can you hear? No, this is Hema. Can you hear him?
No, not yet. He will, he has to,
right.
You know, enable the audio.
Okay, Padmini. Thank you.
We might share his screen. Yes, now he is connected with audio.
So there is Namo Namaha. Just wait for a second. We are a little delayed because of some connectivity issues.
No problem.
Boom. Om Namah Panini Katyayana Patanjali Bhyah Shabda Vidya Sampradaya Kartruvyah Paramarishi Bhyo Namo Mahabhyo Namo Gurubhyah Yena Akshara Samamnayam Adhigamya Maheshwarat Krutsnam Vyakarnam Bruktam Tasmai Paninaye Namaha Vakyakaram Vararuchim Bhashyakaram Patanjalim Paninim Sutrakarancha Pranato Asmi Munitrayam Om Natva Sarasvatim Devi Shuddham Gunyam Karomyaham Paniniya Praveshaya Lag Siddhanta Kaumudim Namo Namaha. May we request you to put all your Evernotes in one PDF format. I will try to do it over weekend. May not get time every time. So try to access the Evernote until the class happens. And then over weekend, maybe I will try to put it all into a PDF. Okay. So, welcome back. What we will do is, you may actually switch off your videos. That is okay. It will help improve bandwidth for you as well as for me. Let us, we discussed about today's class, you know, I thought let us look at the Sandhi rules. The Visarga Sandhi rules. Okay. So are you ready? Are you ready for Visarga Sandhi rules? Okay.
Yes, we are.
That is nice. There are a few Hal Sandhi rules still we need to look at them, but we will bring them up later. In the Visarga Sandhi rule, let me put it up here, one second. In the Visarga Sandhi rule, there are quite a few scenarios, but I think once we start looking at more examples, then it gets clearer and clearer. Okay, and then some of them repeat very often, so those are the ones that you can easily make out. Some of them are very rare ones. So those you can make a note of it and then you can pay attention to them and they will come to you. Visarga, before even it's Visarga, in Vyakarana what happens is that we start with like this. We start with Prakriti and Pratyaya. We start with some base thing that you need to add an addendum to it, like a suffix. And once the suffixes are done, then you form a word. Okay. This is a Shabda Shastra. You take Prakriti, you take Pratyaya, you join the Prakriti and Pratyaya and form some manageable word. And sometimes you will find that after the Prakriti and Pratyaya is added, you want to add some more Pratyaya to it. And you add more Pratyaya to it. And you'll find that you want to add more Pratyaya to it to enhance this meaning further. Okay. Then you will add some more Pratyaya to it. And finally, you will have a word. The word that you have is called a Padam. What is a Padam? A Padam is either a Subanta or a Tinganta. Okay. What is the difference between a Subanta and a Tinganta? Subanta means it is ending in the Supratyas. That means it is a noun that has been declined. Okay. A noun which has declined is Supratyaya. Let's say you got Hari. Okay. And then Hari got the fourth case, you added the fourth case Pratyaya to Hari. And Hari becomes Haraye. You follow? Then Haraye will be your Pada. Will be your Pada. Let's say you have Dhatu, Bhu Dhatu. Bhu Dhatu and Lat Lakara. You know some present tense. You are conjugating the verb Bhu Dhatu. Conjugate. We will understand what is conjugation later. But let's say you are conjugating it. And you're making adding a pratyaya called ti. So bhu dhatu will become bhavati.
Kalpeshji, you're not able to see your screen if you are writing anything.
No, I'm not writing anything. I'm just speaking right now. Okay. So pach dhatu will become pacharti, pachati. Okay. So these dhatus will be formed like that, right? And then you will get a pada that is formed. Okay. So we said that there are padas. Okay. Pada. Now you are able to see the screen?
Yes.
Okay. So there are two types of pada, as I said. One is a Subanta. Subantam Padam. Or the other is Tingantam Padam. These are the two types of padas. Okay. So remember that the rules that we are doing when we say Padanta or whenever we talk about this, they are referring to these padas. It's a Subanta Pada or a Tinanta Pada. Okay. Now what happens is that in the life of the Visarga is not there at all until the Pada is formed. So you take the Prakriti in Prakritis, right? Prakritis mainly are of, it could be a Pradipadikam, a nominal stem. Okay. For a Subanta, Subantam, The Prakriti could be a Pratipadikam. Not could be. Prakriti for a Subantara is Pratipadikam. A Pratipadikam is a nominal stem. Right? Nominal stem means it's a noun. It's a noun. Vasudeva is a noun. In Vasudeva. Vasudeve. Okay? For Vasudeva. Vasudevaya. Okay, for Shiva, Shivaya, of Shiva, Shivasya. So the Shiva itself is the nominal stem, Pratipadikam. Okay, in Sanskritam, anything which is Arthavad, which has meaning, it is not some shabda like blah blah, right? Or you see what I'm saying? Just not a sound. It has to be a set of syllables, but the syllables should have a meaning. Then it is called Arthavat. Okay. It is not a Dhatu. Okay. It is not the Pratipadikam. It is Arthavat. It is meaningful. It is not a Dhatu. And it is not a Pratyaya itself. Okay. What are the types of Pratipadikam? It is Arthavat, we said. Something that has a meaning in it. But also there are shabdas which are pratyaya. When you add a pratyaya called krutatya, the formed word is called krudanta. Okay. When you add a tadita pratyaya, it's a type of a pratyaya. Don't worry about it. It's called tadditanta. Okay. They are secondary derived nouns. Krudantas are primary derived nouns. Okay. Or you could have a compound words of multiple words put together, samasa. These are the types of nominal stems. These nominal stems should be added a pratyaya called supratyaya. In what meaning do we add the supratyaya? We add the supratyaya in the meaning of the six karakas plus the sixth case. That makes us the seven types of supratyas are there, which we have looked at earlier. But we'll look at them again later. Okay. What I'm trying to tell you here is that you have a nominal stem, and that nominal stem is added a pratyaya to form a subanta. Similarly, dhatus are added lakaras. Okay, here added what are called as lakaras. There are 10 lakaras, 10 main lakaras. They added lakaras. I will explain you lakaras. We'll go be doing lakaras after we're done with the visarga sandhi. We added some lakaras. These lakaras are represented by pratyaya called ting pratyas. There are 18 ting pratyas. How many? 18 ting pratyas. So you add these 18 ting pratyas to a dhatu. Okay, and after all modifications, you get a particular word, a pada, which is called what? Which is called? I'm sorry? Yes, it's a tinganta. Okay, the tinganta for them. So that's a tinganta. Tinganta means a dhatu. Dhatu means a verbal root. A verbal root is added a lakara, which is represented by ting. Okay. And a pratyapadikam is a nominal stem. Okay. So this is how you get a subanta or a tinganta. In all of this, in neither the pratyapadikam, arthavad, nor a krudanta, tadditanta, samasa, these are your prakrutis for a subanta. Or the supratyaya has a visarga in it. You follow? Neither the dhatu nor the lakaras, they have a visarga in it. They don't have a visarga. Okay. We say, if you were to agree with me on what the birth of visarga. Okay. The visarga is born out of a sakara. Okay. So you have to have a padanta sakara. Remember this. You have to have a padanta sakara or a padanta refa. Padanta sakara or a padanta refa. Okay. Let us see a couple of examples so that you know what I'm talking about. You have a pratyaya called bala, not pratyaya, a pratyapadikam called bala, a boy. Okay, right? Otherwise, you will miss this. Okay, so you have a nominal stem called bala. Bala means a boy. Okay. And to this, you add a pratyaya. Say, for example, you add a pratyaya called, it's called jas. Don't worry about these details. Okay, and it becomes balas. You follow? So jas was added to mean plural. Ramas, Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha. Balaha, Balau, Bala. Right? That's plural. nominative plural, you are adding a pratyaya called das. And that's how you get balas. Okay, this is an example where you have a, because the pratyaya just was added to bala, you got balas. That's a padanta sakara. You see, that padanta sakara is a, this sakara is a padanta sakara. And that has happened because you got some prakruti, which is a nominal stem, was added a pratyaya, which is a supratyaya, and it's a subanta, because it's, I said, it could happen only to a subanta or a tinganta. It's a subanta, because it's a subanta, you got a padanta sakara. Let's take another example. Okay, another example is, there's a dhatu called surujit. Okay, or rather, let us say, Shrut means to flow. Okay, this dhatu, when you add a pratyaya called tas, okay, tas is added in the terms of what you call it as it is first person. Okay, sorry, not first person, third person. Tas is added, tittasji. Plus is the second pratyaya, which means it is added in the meaning of third person dual. You follow? Third person dual. Do you need to remember this? No. Don't worry about remembering that. Just remember that tas is a pratyaya added to sru. Okay. So sru plus there's another pratyaya that comes in between called a. Okay. And then sru becomes sro. Okay. And then sru becomes, you know, ar. So, sr becomes ar. It becomes sar a tas. Right? Sar a tas. This is an example. Again, don't worry about how it all that modification happened and how did it become sar a tas. Right? What I'm trying to tell you is that this means that the two flow or the two move. Sr means to move. Okay? To slide through. Then sr plus tas, and then you'll get a form called saratas. Okay, so these are two examples where you have a padanta sakara. Let's take another example. Another example could be, there's a pratipadikam called punar. Okay, the pratipadikam itself is a repanta pratipadikam called punar. Okay, this is an example where it's a repanta. So prior to our padas, which are sakaranta. Okay. So punar is actually a noun, but it's an indeclinable noun. But that indeclinable, not noun, it's an indeclinable preposition, punar, which means again. And that preposition is the palanta repha. Okay. Let's say, you know, you must have heard this poem, Pratas Marami, to be some Suradatma Tattvam. Right? So there, the morning is a word called Pratar, which is also an example of a Refanta Pada. Okay. So the Sakaranta Pada or a Refanta Pada is where a Visarga starts from. Okay. So these are grammatical. What we are learning are grammar rules. Okay. So this is not the actual, you will not see an actual word out there. Okay. You will see Bala plus just this just and Bala and all that is all grammatical construct. You will have, in the language, you will see balaha and all those things, right? So then why this grammatical construct? Because there's a method to this madness. And you will see the method to this madness why, okay? After then, the only way to understand these sandhi rules is if you understand this method to the madness. Then you will know, okay, yeah, this is what happens there, type of a thing. Okay, so just bear with me. Just carry on with me, right? So the padanta sakara, your first rule is there, the padanta sakara will always be replaced with a repha. Okay. Padanta sakara, rule number one. Right? Padanta sakara will always be replaced with a repha. Okay? Will always be repha. So what happens there? Balas is a padanta sakara, will be replaced with what? Balar. Okay, saratas will be replaced with what? Saratar. Okay. So your rule number one, whenever you see a pada, that is why you, here's a homework for you. Go and pick up any Sanskritum book that you have, Bhagavad Gita or whatever, right? And then look for all the words. And you find a word which is ending in sakara. Okay. The answer is you will not be able to find one. Because you will have, ending sakara will always be replaced with a refa. Okay. Now, you also had other words, punar and pratar, which were also ending in refa. Remember? Okay. Some of the rules for padas ending in refa and padas ending in sakara are different. You follow? Some of the rules are different. So, this padas which are ending in refa, this refa will give it a name. This is what type of a refa? It is a refa that came in place of a sakara. Refa, okay, that came in place of sakara. You see how big it is? How much I have to tell you? Every time I have to tell you that. The refa that came in place of sakara. Okay. Sanskritam grammarians have a method for this. Okay. What they do is that to that padanta refa, which came as in place of sakara, okay, they will add a character to it. Not a regularly used character. Let's say a nasalized ukara. Okay. So what will happen is called ru. Then I add this. It's called ru. Make sense? This is a grammatical term. Ru. Okay? Are you guys with me? Ru is refa that is added as ukara. U is only a marker. U is only a marker to tell us that this refa is the refa that came in place of sakara. So that I can distinguish between this refa and this refa. Okay? That marker has no other purpose except to distinguish between this refa. You follow? Suppose if I come up and tell you that this is Ramas. Ramaru. What does it mean? It means that it was Ramas and that Sakara got replaced with Ru. You follow? Anybody with me? At least nod your head, please. No, not there. So. Don't worry. If at all you are not following through the argument, it will be very clear, hopefully pretty soon. Otherwise, I'll explain you again. Don't worry about it. Okay. What I'm saying right now is that a pada could have refa at its end on its own, like prathar punar. Or a pada could be ending in sakara, and that sakara could be replaced with refa. So how do I distinguish between the two? So to distinguish between the padanta sakara that came replaced with refa, I'm going to call it ru. Whereas the pada which is already with refa, I don't have to say anything. It's just refa. Okay. Now, rule number two. Okay. Rule number two. Rule number two says that a padanta refa or padanta sakara, padanta ru, basically padanta refa. One second. Okay. When a padanta refa, doesn't matter, it could be refa or ru. Okay. Padanta refa is followed with a khar or a pause. Okay. So let us write it in statement. When padanta refa or a ru, doesn't matter, is followed with a hard consonant like khar. You know what is khar? If you go to Maheshwani Sutra, you will find kha, ha, cha, tha, tha, cha, tha, 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 pai, sha, sha, sa. This is means khar, which are all hard consonants. Okay, so padanta repha or ru, ru is also repha only by the way, is followed with a hard consonant, khar, or a pause. Pause is in Sanskrit term is called avasanam. Okay. Then that padanta repha will be replaced with a visarga. This is where the visarga starts from. Yes. So if you see a visarga, I'm sorry, can you please repeat? No. No, don't look at it like that. Okay. If you see a visarga, that means, remember, these are intermediate rules. There are some more rules that are going to come later. Okay. But remember that if you see a visarga, that means that it should click in your mind that this visarga is always followed by a hard consonant, or that this visarga is, or because it is visarga followed by a pause, there's nothing following. Okay, that is one thing that you should look at. The other thing that you should know that is whenever you see a visarga, means it was a repha to begin with. It was a with this root. Yeah, with this root. This visarga was actually a repha to begin with. Or it also means that this visarga could have been a sakar. It could have been a padanta sakar. So you see a word like this, right? Dukkha. You see that word dukkham? There you see a visarga. That visarga means it is either a padanta repha or a padanta sakara to begin with. Okay? So whenever you see it, let's say you take up any text you want to take up, you see a visarga means it was either a padanta sakara, a grammatical padanta sakara, or a grammatical padanta repha to begin with. So now what happens? What happens is that we had balas, right? And that becomes balar. And we call this as balaru, right? Okay. There can be a question that's, okay, I'll come to your question. So the bala r, right? R. Okay. What does it mean? It becomes what? So now I'm assuming, I'm just doing playing with only a single word. That means that I'm assuming there is no word that is following. You follow? Because there is no word following, it means a pause is following. Okay. Because there is no word following. I'm just taking a single word, bala, right? I'm not doing sandhi at this point of time. I'm just telling you the birth of visarga. Okay. This bala that you have, this visarga, balas becomes balaru. And it's because it's a padanta repa, and that padanta repa is followed with a pause. What I can do is that I can make it bala. Okay. Or we said earlier, what other word that we took? Tinganta. Tinganta we took saratas. Saratas. Sarataru. Right? Will become what? Sarataha. Okay. It was saratas to begin with. Now it becomes Sarataha. Similarly, Ramas would become what? Ramaha. I skipped one step. Okay, Padanda Sakara, you became Ramaha. Okay, or let's say I had Krishnaha. Krishnaha was actually Krishna's. Listen, what? Krishnaha. Okay with this, everybody? Okay, this is the second rule. Yeah, all of these rules which I have said, because the pause is following. Okay, then something other than pause follows, what happens, we will see that. But right now, understand this, that it's a pause that is following.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead, there's a question online.
Yeah, the dukkham, would it become dukkha, dukkaha?
No, don't worry about that part, okay. Dukkha was an example, but I was trying to tell you that there's a visarga here, means that visarga should have either come from a sakara or a refa. What happens after this, don't worry about it. There is no visarga here, right? Because it's a padanta makara or a padanta akara. There's nothing to do with visarga. So you need not worry about that part. Okay, we'll come to that again later.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's see what happens when a khar is not following. Okay, we said when a hard consonant follows, what happens, right? So let's say you had another word, munis. Okay. Munis actually is munis or pratipadikam with a nominative singular pratyaya sal equals munis. So you know munihi, muni, munayaha, right? So that munis is actually will become munir. Okay? Munir. Let me just put refa right now. Okay. And that munir will become what? Munihi. Gurus will become what? Guru. Okay. Vedas. Oh, don't worry about Vedas. Vedas is different. Okay. Guru. Everybody okay with this? Etais will become what? Etais. Some examples other than just Akaranta. Where you get the padanta sakara becomes refa will become what? Become a visarga. Let's see what happens when munis is followed with another word. Munis, let's say iti. Munis iti. Now ikara is a khar. Is ikara a khar? No. But is sakara padanta sakara? Okay. So munis will become what? Munir. Plus iti. Munir plus iti. Okay. Now what happened is that munir plus iti, that ukara is only a marker. I don't want need to use it. Munir plus iti. Now is a khar following? No. Is a pause following? Yeah. Now suppose you could put a pause in between. But right now we are not doing that. We are saying that iti is immediately following. Okay? So you are right. When iti is immediately following, this padanta refa will not become a visarga. So what will you have? You will have munir iti. Munir iti. Let's say you have a scenario, bhanur. Bhanus Asav. Bhanu is the sun. Okay. Bhanus Asav. What will become? Bhanur Asav. Bhanur Asav. Is that? Bhanur Asav. Okay. Let's see another example. Another example is Dhenus. Yes, Gachati. Dhenu is a cow. Dhenus gacchati. Padanta sakara. You see the padanta sakara? Everybody? You see a sakara at the end of the word? Yes. If you see the sakara at the end of the word, it will become what? Sakara will become what? No, first it becomes Repa.
Dhenur.
Yeah, so the Dhenur plus gacchati. For that Repa to become Visarga, you have to have a pause following. Are you guys with me? For that Repa to become Visarga, you have to have a pause following or a hard consonant to follow. Is Gakara a hard consonant? Kapla chatatha chatatau kapai chasasar. It's not a hard consonant. So Gakara is a soft consonant. So that Repa will remain Repa. So Dhenur Gacchati will remain what? Dhenur Gacchati. Etais. Etais. Say Bhakshitam. Etais plus Bhakshitam. Because what? Etair Bhakshitam. Now pay special attention here. If at all you are to read a text and you see a word like this, Muniriti, Bhanuriti, okay, Dhenuriti. You see some words like this. And I say break up the sandhi. Okay. So because you know that iti is a word and you know Muni is a word, you will say Muni, oh Munir, right? And then you put a pause, iti, and then Bhanur, iti, and then Dhenur, iti. But since you're putting a pause, right, now it's a Padanta Repha is followed with a pause. So when you do the Sandhi, Vicheda, when you do Padacheda, and you separate the words out, right, you're introducing a pause. And by the mechanism of introducing the pause, Padanta Repha cannot stand on its own. Okay, Padanta Sakara, of course, turned into Padanta Repha because the word was already formed. And now it's a Padanta Repha, it cannot stand on its own. So it become what? Munihi, Iti, Bhanuhu, Iti, Dhenuhu, Iti. You see what I did? I have introduced a pause. By introduction of a pause, the only padacheda is possible is munihi iti. Okay? If a book has done the sandhis for you, they will never do it like this, munihi asti. They will not do that. Okay? They will always do it as munirasti. Okay? And then you have to say, okay, asti is a word, munihi is a word. Then the way to do padacheda is what? Munihi asti. Am I making sense there? So, the Padanta Repha becomes a Visarga only when a hard consonant or a pause follows. By the rule, whenever you do Padacheda, you have to always be conscious. Whenever you do a Padacheda, you're putting a comma, then oh, this was actually a Repha and I have to bring in what? I have to bring in a Visarga. Clear? It looks complicated, but as you practice, because you will find there is no word like Munir.
Kalpeshi.
It is always Muni. Yes, there is a question online. Go ahead.
Kalpeshi, sometimes in shloka, you would see, you don't actually, when you are reading it, there is no visarga, but when...
Okay. You are thinking in the right direction, but I'm going to interrupt you there. You are like a few blocks ahead of where we are walking. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Please pause. I think it is best that you hold up all your Visarga questions, Visarga Sandhi related questions, until all the Visarga Sandhi rules are done.
Okay. Thank you.
Because you will see a lot of things in Shloka, right? And then what we will do is any question that you ask, I will request you to give it to me with an example. Okay. Not a hypothetical example. An example. And if you don't have an example, I will give you a corresponding example to explain that. Okay. So let's see another another type of sandhi there. Okay? Are we okay with this aspect? Okay, there is another type of sandhi. This is a specific sandhi. Okay, so let us put our formulas down. Okay, the formulas are going to be very helpful for us. 8 to 66. What is the first formula that we said? You have a padanta sakara. Okay. That's it. There's nothing there. Will be replaced with Refa. Because it will be replaced with Refa, but we are just calling it Ru. Okay? To distinguish between the Refa that came in place of Sakara and a Refa that existed in the word itself. Okay? This is our first rule. There's a number to this. 8 to 66. Sasa Yusho. Okay? This is our first rule. Second rule that we said was, okay, Padanta Refa. Parmar, you have a question to ask?
No.
Okay. Then you can mute. Thanks. Padanta Refa. That Padanta Refa is followed with what? A Khar. Or also followed with a Avasanam. Which means what? Pause. If this is the case, the Padanta Refa will be replaced with what? Visarga. Remember, Visarga is not the end of it. The Visarga can get modified to something else later. That is why we are following this order. Sometimes the Visarga gets dropped. Sometimes it will be modified to something else, right? And by the way, this Khar or Avasana will continue to follow, right? Remember, we also always did this, right? Whatever is the Nimitta. So the Khar and Avasana are your Nimitta. The Padanta Refa is your Sthani. And your Visarga is what? Is your Adesha. Whereas the Kharavasanam, right? The hard consonant or the pause is only the Nimitta. Okay with this, everybody? Shall I proceed further with the next Sandhi rule? Okay. So, let's say you have a Ru. This is third rule. Okay. This is third rule. The third rule, what happens is that it gets an Utva. Utva rule. So let's say you had a Ru. Okay. And that Ru was preceded by an Akara. Okay. And that Ru is further followed by an Akara or a hush. You will see in the examples I have not taken these examples like Bhanuriti, Dhenuriti. This scenario is not there. Okay. Then what happens is that the Ru gets replaced with U. Yes, the special Ru. Yeah. Sorry, I missed it. Okay, you're right. It is a special Ru. Okay, and that Ru, whenever it is replaced, okay, and let me finish typing. Okay, it's followed by an A. Okay, A means At, by the way. A means At, so not A. And a hush. I will explain this to you. Okay. And once you look at the example, He will say, aha. I hope you will say, aha. Okay. So here, this ru is your sthani. And this u is your adesha. Now this looks a little cryptic, so bear with me for a second. Let me create an example for this. Okay. The example could be Rama, Ramas plus Api. Okay. You able to see? Okay. Ramas plus Api. So what happens? You got Rama plus Api. You agree with the scenario now? So what happens here? Padanta Sakara. Is this Padanta Sakara? Everybody, is this Padanta Sakara? So what we will do is we'll apply our rule number one, which is I'm going to call it as 8 to 66. Okay. That rule which we applied, what we're going to do is Rama, Ru plus Api. Okay with this? Now you have a scenario where you have Ru preceded by an Akara, Ru preceded by an Akara, and Ru followed by an Akara. Right? Then the Ru will be replaced with what? U. Okay? So what will happen here? It will become Rama. I'm breaking that Makara Akara, I'm breaking it to show you the Akara there. Okay? In this Rama, it is actually Makara plus Akara. And I'm breaking it up to show you that there's an Akara there. This rule requires an Akara to precede the Ru. So that Rama plus Ru will become Rama U plus Api. Okay. Now based on Sandhi rules that we have learned earlier, A plus U becomes what? A plus U becomes O. Very nice. You'll get a Guna. Okay. You'll get a 6187. You'll get a Guna rule here. Okay. You see the fun things that will be happening now. So A plus U becomes O. So you get what? Ramo plus Api. Okay. Now you know whenever you have an O and it's followed with an At, what happens to that At? The O and A will be replaced with O. It'll become what? Ramo Avagraha. We studied this one also. Okay. This is called Enga Padanta Dati. It's called Purva Rupa Sandhi. We did a Purva Rupa Sandhi. So when I see Ramo Api, for example, let's do a reverse of it. Have you ever seen this, done this? Shivoham, Shivoham, right? Shivoham is actually Shivo Hum. And that Shivo Hum is what? Shivo plus Aham. Shivaha Aham. You see? Now I'm putting a pause there in between. Once I put the pause here, it becomes Shivo, comma, Aham. Right? Now Shivo, that's not a word. That Shivo was Go because the Upara had come there. So remove that Ukara. Shiva, U plus Aham. Right? Now that Ukara was there because it was a Ru to begin with. It will become what? Shiva Ru plus, comma, Aham. And Padanta Refa cannot stay on its own. Right? Whenever you put a pause, Padanta Refa will become what? Become what? Louder. Visarga.
Visarga.
Yes. Padanta Refa will become what? Visarga, right? We studied today, sometime back. Shiva. Aham. So Shivaha Aham, when you bring the words together, you have to go back to that Sakara becomes Refa. Now that the Ru becomes U, U and U will become O, becomes Shivo Aham, and that Shivo Aham, you have to put a Avagraha there. Become Shivo Aham. Is it complicated? This is the only one that just you have to pay a little bit more attention. Other Visarga rules are simpler than this. Let's take up another example. We took an example where you had an art following. Let's see another example called Balaha plus Hasati. Okay. So what is this? This is actually Sakara to begin with. Balas plus Hasati becomes Balaru plus Hasati. Okay. Now it is a Ru that is preceded by Akara and followed with a Hash. It becomes what? Bala U plus Hasati. And then we know what happens. And U will become O. Become what? Balo Hasati. Balo Hasati. You got the Guna. Between A and U, you got the Guna Sandhi. Okay, let's say you had Punar plus Hasati. Punar plus Hasati. Okay. Now, Punar plus Hasati, was it Sakara? No. It is a Padanta, it is a Repha Padanta. So, Repha is preceded by Akara? Yes. Followed by Hakara? Yes. But since that Repha is not Ru, okay, it will just remain as it is. This rule will not apply. But if you were to make a pause, right? If you were to make a pause, Punar plus Hasati. Because it's a Padanta Repha, the Padanta Repha always becomes Visarga when a pause follows. You know what? Punaha Hasati. If I'm bringing a pause then. Punaha Hasati. Okay. Let's just do a quick look at what we learned. We learned that there are two padas. Pada could be ending in a Subanta or a Tinanta. Why do I have to say all this? It's because the pratyas, the Ting pratyas or the Sup pratyas, they are the one that is bringing in the Sakara. That's why I have to talk about this. So you have to start with a Sakara, like this, or Tas, Sakara. Then it's a Tinganta, this is a Subanta or a Tinganta. Then the Subanta will become Balas. Tinganta will become Saratas. You need a Padanta Sakara. Or it could be a Padanta Repha itself, Punar and Pratar. Now distinguish between these two, I need a Ru. Now you understand why did I need a Ru? Because in the third rule, it's only to the Ru that the rule applies. The rule does not apply to a Repha. So now, what I'm saying is that once you come here, you did the requisite. You have a Padanta Sakara will always be replaced with a Repha. And that Repha is called Ru. Ramas will become Ramaru. Okay? Okay. Then, second rule which we studied is that whenever you have a Padanta Repha or a Ru, doesn't matter. If it is followed with a hard consonant, right? If it's followed with one of the hard consonants, so that is why the next example I have taken hush, there are no hard consonants there. So these are the scenarios where you have a hard consonant following. Okay? So let's see Ramas, right? Or a hard consonant or a avasana, pause following. Then that Padanta Repha will be replaced with what? It will be replaced with a Visarga. That's how you got your Ramaha and Guru. Okay? Now let's say we take another word. Okay? That is the second rule, by the way. So Padanta Repha followed with a hard consonant or a pause, and Padanta Repha will be replaced with a Visarga. Third rule, Uttva rule. Whenever you have a Ru, and that Ru is preceded by an At and followed by an At or a Hash, right? So remember this Hash and Khar are mutually exclusive. Hash are soft consonants. whereas khar are hard consonants. Okay, so now we are talking about the soft consonants. But the soft consonant and the ru and a preceded by an at, this is the lengthy rule. Then that ru will be replaced with u, and you will see the scenario. Okay, so let's say we take up some example, right? Bala, balas plus khadati. Now khadati is a hard consonant, so it will become what? Balak plus khadati. That's it. Balah khadati. Okay. Now this visarga itself can be pronounced as balah khadati or balak khadati. Remember that? Okay. Let us say Ramas. Ramas plus Pachati. Okay. The Pakara is a Khar. Isn't it a Khar? Pakara is a Khar, right? Kapha chatata chatata kapai sarva. So the Padanga Sakara will become what? Rama Ru plus Pachati. Okay. Will become what? Rama plus Pachati. And you can say it as Ramaha Pachati or Ramaf Pachati. Okay? Any questions? Or online friends, any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
You look at the Visarga because of the first two rules, just by looking at the plain visarga, you wouldn't know if you came through S, the sa ending, or just because it's a
Zefa ending. Yeah.
Yes.
The question that is asked, just by looking at the visarga, okay, punaha punaha. Punaha punaha could be punaha punaha or punaf punaha. Just by looking at visarga, can you tell if it is a Refanta pada or a sakaranta, or it comes from sakara? Do we know? Can you tell from the visarga itself? The answer is no. But the Refanta padas are very few. Okay, there's Punar, there's Pratar. And you find me a third one. Okay, the Refanta padas are very few. So you will know in that way by elimination. If it's not Punar, it's not Pratar, then it has to be something which has a Sakaranta. Okay?
It's by trial and error, is what you're saying.
Not by trial and error. It is just that, you see, these rules that you are applying are not going to be completely defining the mechanism. Right? The rules are more like aid. Okay, they help you into answering most of the scenarios. Okay, so let us say you come up with a Refanta pada. Some Refanta pada you can come up with. Okay, and that will be there. There are Refanta padas which are not Punar and Tatar. There are some other Refanta padas. They are ending in some Refa. Right? Then they will be converted to Visarga. Now, how do I know if that is Sakara to begin with? Actually, don't know it to know at that point of time. You need to know only if you are bringing in the pause. If you are bringing in the pause, anyway, it will be Visarga. Okay? Then what happens if it's not a Khar following, what you do? Then it will change back to Refa. It will never go back to Sakara. You follow? So you will not make an error in that sense. But then finally, if there are one or two words which are Refanta padas, you will be able to recognize them. I will try to find those padas and explain you what happens those. Nothing is coming to my mind which is actually Refanta pada.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So Raji, maybe you can find some Refanta pada. You please tell us. Okay. I will also look for one.
Okay. Thank you again.
Okay. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Krishna Pranamastu. Geeta ji, you raise your hand. You have a question?
Yes, one question. I may be very fundamental, but I'm going to ask you. In the first example, Balas Khadati, you wrote Balah Khadati directly. Ramas Pachati, you put Rama Pachati and then Ramaha Pachati. Is the rule? I forget this, you know.
No, no, there's no rule. This is again Balar plus Khadati.
Okay, so it is the same.
Same. Yeah, Padanta Sakara will become Repha.
Repha.
And Padanta Repha will become Visarga.
Become Bala. Thank you. Thank you.
Kalpesh ji, I have a question. This is Padmini.
Yes.
Suppose this is Balaha, Balas Hasati. Then it becomes Balaha Hasati. Balar. Does it become Balar Hasati?
No, it becomes Balo Hasati. This rule will apply. Balas Hasati. It becomes Balaru Hasati. It will become Bala U Hasati, it will become Balo Hasati.
Okay, and U, okay. Oh. Because it is followed by a. Okay,
yeah, it's followed by a hush.
Yeah, yes.
The Hakara is a hush.
Sakara ending. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Again, I'm sorry I'm dumping all of this in a single class to you. Okay. But, you know, I'm trying to cover as much as possible and then we can take those examples and repeat them. That is the way to memorize. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll still take one more class. I'll give you some more examples, some more rules, and then we will go back and refer. Later on, I'll also draw a table for you, and then you can look at the table and follow. Okay, what is preceding? What is following? How do I go? Okay, it comes here. That type of a map, I will draw it. Okay, that'll make it a little bit more easier. Boom.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.